This morning, we will look at what we believe. And here's the exciting thing. We're one of many churches in Richmond Hill. We're a part of a denomination that spans not only North America, but around the world. And here's the best part. We're a part of a church made up of many denominations together who unite together in our profession of faith in Jesus Christ, who agree in what we are going to recite together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is the summary of the teachings of the apostle, and where Jesus Christ is the center. So I'd like to encourage you to join with me as we recite the words of the Apostles' Creed together. Let's say, I believe in God the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the last. Amen.
That is our profession. We have recited it, we have sung it, and now we are going to hear that profession of faith. And the words aren't going to appear on the screen, but I want you to hear the words that John writes in the book of 1 John, which is the challenge for you and I to love God and to live in love. Hear these words beginning at verse 7. If you have Bibles or your phone to the Bible app, keep it open. There we go. 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but fear, or perfect love, drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. So far, the reading of God's word. I want to tell you the story of a young boy named Aaron. He was going to camp for the very first time. And his dad was ecstatic because he was going to a church camp. And he wouldn't have to worry about those stories at the end of the night where you talked about ghosts and you went to bed and you were terrified. But because it was a church camp, they didn't tell stories about ghosts. But this camp told stories of demons and Satan and how if you didn't follow God, you were going to hell. Let's just say the little boy went to bed with nightmares. He came home from camp and he goes to his daddy. Daddy, don't turn off the lights. Why not? You don't have to be afraid. But Daddy, I'm afraid because of Satan. And I might go to hell, Daddy. Son, didn't they tell you of the story of the love of God? Of grace and of mercy and of heaven? You've got nothing to be afraid of. Daddy, would you pray for me that I would feel safe? The father could understand something that was going on with his son. He could begin to hear the story of the warmth and the love of God needing to surround his son. For the story of the love of God to embrace his son. He said, son, how about I pray this? Can I pray that you would know the love of God and that you would be so dangerous for God because you love him? Daddy, if you're going to pray that, could you pray that I'd be really, 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 really dangerous for God? Huh. Are you so wrapped in the love of God that your prayer, that my prayer, is not that we would be safe, but that we would be so dangerous for God because he loved us and loves us so much? The story of the church, the story of the Bible, is the story of God. It is the story of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We've just recited it, that he was born, that he was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again, that he ascended into heaven, and that he's coming again. It's a story about a knowable and a personal and a loving God. John says it this way: God is love. Do you hear those words this morning, that God is love? I don't know if you've heard it, but I've heard it. God is distant. God is far away. God is not knowable. But how can you not connect with a God who is love and to say that he's distant? Because love isn't distant. Love isn't arbitrary. Love isn't an impersonal force like electricity or gravity. Love is a function of the personality. Love is something we determine to do. Love is a decision. Love is an action. See, you gotta love what John is doing. When John is describing the person of God, he's saying that God is love. And what he's doing is saying this: by his very nature, God chooses to define himself by the ultimate action that he will carry out. Just verses before, he said, "We believe in the name of his son and love one another just as he has commanded." We believe. It's not only a call to faith, a call to trust, a statement about saying something about who Jesus is, but he's saying, it's how I want you to live. To deny yourself for one another. To love one another despite our natural differences. To love across the obstacles and the boundaries that we create. What John is doing is now saying, in the previous three chapters, I've told you all about God and who he is. And if you believe it to be true, if you believe God's word to be true, then we need to live it out. If our statement of faith that we have sung and we read is true for our lives, the way that becomes manifested or made known or evident or revealed is by the way that you and I live. It's like a glove that fits on a hand. You can't have one without the other. Notice the text. In this, the love of God was made manifest, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. It's that beautiful picture, isn't it? And how God chooses to reveal himself by his very action. Now, picture the alternative. Picture a young man who loves a girl immensely, and he gets down on one knee and he says, "Darling, I love you to the sky and back. And I'm thinking about proposing to you, but I'm not." Can you picture how that doesn't reveal his love for that young lady? Or picture my son. He's having a birthday this week, Wednesday. And picture me saying, "Son, I love you. I'm glad you're here. I thought about getting you a cake. I thought about a present. I even thought about wishing you a happy birthday. But I only thought about it." God's giving of his son, Jesus, to us is so that we could be forgiven, that you and I could have eternal life. And he didn't just think about it. From the beginning of Scripture, when Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 fell into sin, God made a plan to send a Messiah. Hear Paul's word in Ephesians. "It is by grace that you have been saved." Hear the words of Romans 5. "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Hear the story of the prodigal son, where a father who did not do it in his culture picked up his cloak and ran to his son. And he says, "This son of mine was lost, but now he's home." The word of John. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die for us, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life." It is a story of God. It is a story of the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. And then he says in verse 11, "Since God so loved us, let us love one another." He really summarizes the summary of the law, doesn't he? Which we also read in Matthew 22, where he says, here's the summary of the law. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do that, you cover all the laws of the prophets." What he's doing first is he's taking a step back. And he realizes that God has called together a community that really has nothing in common other than the fact that they have a faith in Jesus Christ. And he knits them together in this small community called the church. And he realized that there are times in the church where we hurt each other, where we wound each other, where we let each other down. Because it's hard to live in community, isn't it? And the closer you are together, the deeper wounds. And so he wants his church to be united. And he says, let's put aside our own agendas. Let's deny ourselves. Let's sacrificially live for the well-being of others as a testimony to the work of Jesus on the cross. "A new commandment I give you," he says, "that you love one another." It's right out of Leviticus 19. And yet those words are hard to hear, aren't they? "I want you to seek first his righteousness. I want you to die to self. I want you to serve the brethren." John had heard those words as well. He could echo the words. "By this all men will know that you are my disciples." Isn't that really the evidence of the working of grace? I think of that book, Seizing Your Divine Moment, where it asks the question, have you come to the place in your own life where you are so wrapped with the love of God that it is our prayer that God would make us dangerous for him? That's what John's calling us to this morning, to look after one another, to care for one another, to encourage one another, to support one another, to build one another up, to forgive one another. Why? Because we've just professed it, that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried for me, for you. But not only that, he rose again. He ascended. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he's coming again. And there's still time to invite those who don't know him to come to him. There's still time for the saints, as we sung earlier, to wake up. God is love. And he echoes the words, depending on your translation. It says that he came to atone our sin, to be our expiation, to be our propitiation. Those aren't words we use every day, but what he's saying is this. God came in the person of Jesus to bear the wrath of God, to take on our sin, to echo in salvation, to offer grace, so that we might be his. Since God so loved us to such an extravagant measure. Oh yeah, here's the answer. It's pretty simple. That's how I want you to live. That's all I ask, is that you love me and you live to the sacrificial point that I was willing to offer. And that will be our witness to the world. Love one another as I have loved you. Beloved, let us love one another. This is verse 7 and 8. For love is of God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So let's put it on the line. Let me be blunt this morning. Why don't we always love people? Sin is the easy answer. Because we live for ourselves, it is the easy answer. But have we really wrestled with the answer and the fact that it becomes, is have we submitted to the love of God and been so wrapped in his love that our desire is to live dangerously for him? It's the obligation, you could say, that we owe to God because of his great love for us. We can never pay it back. We could never earn the favor or the mercy or the love of God. And when he says, all I simply ask you to do is to love me and love my neighbor, why is it so hard? Why do we keep wanting to pick and to choose who we can love or how that love will be revealed? All I'm asking, John says, is that you love me and that you love others, and do it sacrificially. Nothing else really matters. But here's the hard part. How do you do it? How do you and I love others as God has loved us? There is a new building that is right there called The Hub. And I know, because I was there last week, that if you were to go over there and you have a skill, maybe it's knitting, maybe you know something about computers, they would love to have your help to live out that expression of God's love. Working with troubled youth, teaching them a skill, showing the love of God. You and I can jump in and offer at the food bank. We can go to the Richmond Hill Hospice. You and I can love our neighbor who may be full of vulgarity. We can lay aside our own agenda. Within the life of the church, we can unite ourselves together in the purpose and the calling of God. It's to be so enamored with the love of God that we say, God, here I am. You have heard my profession in the risen Christ. Whatever it is you are calling me to do, I'm in. So let me start with how we began, or conclude with how we began. Are you so enamored with the love of God, made visible in the person of Jesus, who was born of a virgin, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, died, buried, descended into hell, who rose again, who is seated at the right hand of God, and who is coming again? Are you so overwhelmed with the love of God that you're willing to be recklessly dangerous in how we love like Jesus? That's a question I want us to ask and answer for ourselves this morning. Because if we make that profession, to love that dangerously is the only response we can give. And it's my prayer that together, as the church in Richmond Hill, as the Christian Reformed Church in North America, as the Church of Jesus Christ with all of the churches in Richmond Hill, would unite together and to love so passionately that people would see Jesus and would experience grace and renewal and salvation. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for a faith that is rooted in Scripture. A faith that finds itself in the God of love. And Lord, we thank you that you love us in spite of the moments where we choose to live in disobedience. You love us when we wrestle, Lord, with understanding this thing called faith and maybe even finding it too good to be true. And we thank you that we can wrestle with the tough questions and the tough passages of Scripture together as the church. And together, we grow in our love and our desire to follow you. Lord, we thank you that as the church, we can walk with each other. Lord, we pray that you would continue to lay your hand upon Grace, that you would continue to keep her comfortable, that you would watch over the family, Lord, as they continue to look to what the next steps are and what decisions to be made. And we pray that the story of faith would continue to shine through. We thank you for exciting moments where next Sunday we get to celebrate the baptism of Oliver. We thank you for moments where we're reminded of grace, reminded of how your hand is upon us, and that we can affirm our own baptisms. We thank you for new seasons of life. Lord, we pray that you would be with John and Letty as they move away tomorrow to Belleville. We just pray that they may find a community of faith to be established to. We pray that they would continue to make new friends in the community where they'll dwell, and that they would be a profound witness in that new neighborhood, and that your love would shine through them. Lord, would you can be with Margaret's brother, John. Lord, hearing last night that tumors continue to grow around his heart, breathing is hard. We just pray that you would lay your hand upon him, that you would keep him comfortable, that you would refresh him. And Lord, if it's in your plan that, Lord, you would ultimately and miraculously heal his body. But would you be with Margaret and John, or Rob, Lord, as they surround their brother? Would you give them the grace and the strength that they need during this difficult time? And pray that you would refresh them and sustain them. Lord, thank you for this country in which we get to live. We thank you for the freedom that we have, Lord. We thank you for 149 years. And Lord, we just thank you that this is the greatest country in the world to live. And Lord, we thank you that not only can we have this extended long weekend of rest, but thank you that the heavens opened and rain came down and the earth received what it needed. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, as we go through this rest of this weekend, we pray that we, as well as all those who have gone away this weekend, would find rest and replenishment, that we would be restored, not only for a new week, but Lord, to be your ambassadors of love in this world. Thank you for your amazing love and for the story of grace. In your name we pray. Amen.